Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. We thank the Lord for allowing us to greet you again on another Sunday morning. And on this Sunday in particular, of course, this is our last Sunday in the year 2025, and of course, our first Sunday since we celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're just glad to be here. Having said that, let us first just pause for a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you, and we're so grateful to you for allowing us to be here another Sunday. We take nothing for granted, as if we had to be here. We realize it's by your grace and your mercy that we are here, that you've watched over us even last night as we slumbered and slept, and we're grateful and we're thankful. And now, Lord, as we continue even through this day, I pray in particular, Lord, that you would use me. Let me be an instrument used in your hand to give forth that which you would have to be given to your people. I pray, Lord, that you would impart to me the wisdom and understanding, Lord, that I can rightly divide your word, Lord, and help bring even whatever it is needed for your people to receive. You know what each and every one needs, Father. I don't, but you do. And I pray, Lord, that through your word, the words that you give me to speak today, will be able to give some of that which you would have given to them today. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to keep us even through the rest of this day, that we can govern ourselves in such a manner, Lord, that those around us will be able to see you through us, that you might get the glory out of our life limits. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Beloved, we're going to go right into the message for today, which is going to be coming to you from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And our text is going to be coming from the 21st through the 23rd verses. But we're going to be reading to you the 18th through the 25th verses. I'm going to read these verses for you for the benefit of those who, for whatever reason, may not have their Bibles available to them and are unable to read it. And we pray, Lord, that this is pleasing to you. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Matthew, the first chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We have read Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th. Those are 25th verses in the New International Version. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. May it bring truth to our very souls. Now, as we've already stated, this is the last Sunday in the year 2025 and the first Sunday after celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to ask some people to tell you the Bible account of what we call the Christmas story, it would probably consist of Mary's virgin birth. Somewhere in there that will come up. Joseph contemplating divorcing himself from Mary, that's probably going to come up in there as well. And then with Mary and Joseph looking for lodging during that very important time of the year. Excuse me. And all of the inns were filled up. That story may come up that they couldn't find any place except for a stable in which Jesus would be born. You probably hear about the shepherds and wise men looking for the star, trying to follow the star that led them to Bethlehem. They wanted to see this site, to see where this baby Jesus would be born. And those stories that usually follow, all those that come with it, Herod the king trying to find Jesus, even killing all of the baby boys 2 years and under, and all of these stories, all of these come up. But there's a whole lot more to this story, to this event, rather. We call it a Christmas story, but this is an event. And there were little thing, different things happening in this large event of the birth of Jesus. There were a lot of things going on, more things than what a lot of us look at on the surface. The depths of the events in the birth of Jesus, oh my gosh, they're not only found in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, which just a few verses, you'll find some accounts in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, the 8th chapter, and verses 8 through 10, you'll find some there. But you can actually find traces of the accounts of Jesus' birth as far back as Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and even the 15th verse. We'll probably make reference to this a little bit later. But today, okay, we're going to focus on the passages, the verses that we've read in our text for today. And in just these few verses that I've read, just these few, there's going to be some gems in there that we could probably spend, oh my gosh, I don't know how much time on them, but we're not going to do that today. We're not going to keep you long at all. Seeking your prayers in that regard. Not 100% today, but praise the Lord, he'll give us the strength to continue and press on. And in doing so, I want to tell you what we're going to talk about today, a very simple subject. I've made mention of this some time back, but I'm going to do it again today. And we're going to simply call this the Uncensored Christmas Story. The Uncensored Christmas Story. Now, before I go into this at any more depth, let me explain to you why I say this is uncensored. You see, beloved, There's nothing more that Satan wants to do than they have us understand what the birth of Jesus was really about. Oh, it's more than trying to find a lodging in a town where so many things was going on at the time. It's more than just a husband feeling betrayed, or in this case, even a husband to be feeling betrayed because his fiance is found to be with child, and that should not have happened. She's supposed to be not just a virgin woman, but he had no relations with her. So for her to come up pregnant, this is a devastating situation. But it was more than just that. It's more than just King Herod hearing about this so-called, as he will put it, Messiah. The so-called Messiah coming up that would take his place. No, and he's setting out to kill him even in his youth before he can get to that point. It's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. And we want to look into just a few of these verses and bring out what is obvious. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to say something to you that no one has ever seen. No, I just want to bring something out in the word that is right there. It's always been right here in front of us. But maybe because we got so engrossed in the exciting, when we say the exciting part of this Christmas story, that we tend to overlook the main part. And that is part of what Satan has always hoped. And that's why we call this Uncensored. We want to try to bring out a couple of these points that Satan will not and does not want you to pay attention to. For example, for number one, in verse 21, we see where it says, and this is where our text is coming from. We're focusing mainly on verses 21, okay, through 23. Okay, this is where our text is basically coming from. So I want you to look at this. In verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I could read that, and we could just go right on home right now, because it's so rich. That one verse is so rich. It's a powerful gem. And you're sitting here, so wait a minute, I don't. Yeah, we will always read that. I don't see. Well, look what it says. One, okay, she will give birth to a son. Now, you said, okay, we understand. Okay, she's going to give birth to a son. We understand that the angel spoke this to Joseph in a dream and told him that everything's going to be all right. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. No, what is what the child that she is impregnated with, this cons that she's is going to conceive. This is a spiritual thing. This is not a physical thing. We mentioned this to you before, but I want you to hear this. This is not a physical happening. It's a spiritual happening. She is not laid with any man. Yes, she is still a virgin. This is a spiritual thing. This has been implanted in her spiritually. It's going to give evident physically, because you're going to see a baby boy come from her, but no man has touched this woman. That's, without getting all fancy. Yeah, this is the Immaculate Conception. We know that. But I want you to understand what is going on here. Do not try to make something miraculous, something beautiful, something so spiritually deep into something ugly as man has tried to do throughout the years with man's limited knowledge of that the only way a woman can have a child is if she has had relations with a man. In his limited scope of things, overlooking the fact that the same God who has created man, who has created the universe and everything within it, is limited in his power to have a virgin woman give birth to a child. Having said that, look at what it says. Now you are to give him the name Jesus. She is going to have a son. I already told him that. Now don't confuse the knowledge that the Lord has blessed doctors to be able to obtain today with what knowledge they had back then. Oh yeah, they can take various tests and look at a woman and say, yes, you're gonna have a boy. Yes, tell her about how many, approximately how many months or weeks pregnant you are. They didn't have that. They didn't have that knowledge then. All they had is what God spoke and God revealed to them. And he, the angel revealed to Mary, you're gonna have a son. Okay. And for those who remember and those who look into this scripture and look deeper, he told her, yes, you're going to have this child. And then not only told her that, you're going to have this son and you're going to name him Jesus. He said, well, yeah, well, name him Jesus. Why are you going to name him Jesus? Because he will save the people, all people. He said, because he will save his people from their sins. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? Beloved, you need to understand something. With us, there is a past, present, and future to consider with practically anything we talk about, but not with God. Everything is present. He is author, excuse me, Alpha and Omega. Not Alpha, then Omega. He is the beginning and the end at the same time. With God, there is no past or present, or future, everything is present. And that's hard for us to conceive. It's hard for us to try to imagine that, but you don't have to. Just accept it as the scripture says. This is where the faith comes in. This is why so many of us fall short in God's expectations of us. This is why God said, without faith, it is impossible please him. Impossible. Because you have to believe. You don't have to understand it. God didn't require us to understand everything he does. But he does require us to believe that he is doing, has done, and will do everything that is recorded in his word, that he does require us to do. Anything less, is showing a true lack of faith, a lack of trust, and almost, in some things, almost the same as calling God a liar. When he says, I've done this, what do you think you're saying? He said, well, yes, the word says it, but I know God can do, but no, there's no buts. You just have to take it and believe it. We have seen evidence in the scriptures of those who begin to distrust what God says and have doubts about what God says. One of the biggest stories in the scripture that we like to quote is Peter walking on the water. He was all right until he took his focus off of Jesus. And that's when he began to sink. But that's another story for another time. Here we see where it says he will save his people from their sins. Are you saying, well, God has already singled out people that he's going to save? This is a very misconception of what people try to interpret predestination. Predestination is a phrase. I'm saying this here for our benefit. Because when you say predestination, you need to ask yourself a question. It means before, but we want to know before what? Before what? I'm not being funny. I'm not trying to play word games with you. But we're talking, when you talk about God, what is before? It can't be before time. God always is, always will be. What he said to Moses before Abraham was, I am. That was not a play on words. You could not expect God to say, well, before Abraham was, I was. There is no was. Before Abraham was, I am. I'm here. I've always been here, God is saying. Even before Abraham. When God says his people, do you not believe that God knew, for again, I'm speaking for our benefit, a billion years ago in our thinking of time, God knew a billion years ago that a billion years from then you would accept him as Savior. That one will accept him as Savior. I would accept him as Savior. And yet there are so many that would not. So even a billion years ago, if we want to try to give it a timeline, God knew who his people would be and who would not be. And knowing it then, yes, we want to use the phrase he predestined folks. And not before his time. But in our finite thinking, yes, God knew who was going to be saved. And then knowing it then, he laid out some things for those people then. So that's why he can make this prayer. That's why this statement can be made. Yes, he would save his people. Those that he knew would accept him, that would receive him as Savior. That's why he could do so then. That's why this statement can be written with complete accuracy. God does not say, I'm going to save you. Oh, no, I'm not going to save you. No. People say, well, he's sovereign. He can do what he wants. Yes, he could. But that's not consistent with what he said he would be and what he would be doing. That he would hope that no one, everyone, would be saved. He's given everyone an opportunity. Everyone. Again, a deeper lesson for another time. And we'll be more than willing to discuss that. Okay. So yes, you're going to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He will provide the means for his people to escape the wrath to come, to save them from the wrath to come because of their sin. Yes, he can make that statement. So yes, even before he was born, his destiny and his purpose was revealed. Okay. Number two, in verse 22, it says right there, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through his prophets. Now, let me stop right here. Now, what we just talked about, Jesus saving his people, Jesus destined to save his people, Jesus, okay, whose very name in the Greek comes from the word Joshua, which means the Lord saves, God saves. You see this even from before he was even born yet. He saves. God saves. The Lord saves. His very name, which he was told by the angels. You know, this is what you're going to name him. This is what you're going to name him. You're not going to name him after you. No. You're going to name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. God saves. But we're going to see how this even continued to play in the scriptures. So stay with me. I'm almost finished. I tell you, I'm not going to keep you long. Okay. So so in verse 22, like I said, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through his prophets, through the scripture. Okay. So yes, you need to take note that Jesus' birth was right in line with what was prophesied to take place. What was prophesied about Jesus' birth is right in line with the scripture. Okay, we gave you a few to go back and look at, and of course in Isaiah, we gave you a couple of verses to look at. Now, third point I want to bring up in verse 23. Let me read this for you. Let me read, and I want you to listen to this closely. I don't want you to miss what's happening here. The virgin, let me say that again. The virgin, not a virgin, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Now let me pause again here. The virgin will conceive, not a virgin, not a woman, no, the virgin. You see, right then and there, you say, wait, but that don't make sense. How can a virgin conceive? That means she's no longer a virgin. Now you're almost there now. It's almost making sense to you. Wait a minute. Oh, I guess this has to be a spiritual thing. This woman has not had any relations with any man. There was no vitro injections and all to be taken back then. This is a miracle. A miracle by God that a virgin can conceive a child. But you know, I don't see why that's so hard. My God, God spoke and things just, manifested. The universe, planets, stars, moons, everything, and everything within everything, just there. So why is this seemingly so impossible for us to believe that a virgin can conceive a child? But that's not the only thing I want you to look at in this verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him. We're talking about people. We're not just talking about pastors, priests, holy men. They, the folks, the people, will call him Emmanuel. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. Joseph was told to name him Jesus. But why would they call him Emmanuel? Because Emmanuel means God with us. You say, well, wait a minute. But doesn't Jesus mean God saves, the Lord saves? So what they're saying is, the God with us. Say, oh, now they're actually having God and Jesus. They're putting them on the same. Oh, now you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm getting it now. I'm getting it now. I'm even seeing the Trinity at work now. I'm seeing where the Holy Spirit has allowed this virgin woman to conceive. And I'm seeing now where it's showing me that God and Jesus are the same. Why are you trying to tell me that the Trinity was even, oh my gosh, it was shown even right here, in the birth of Jesus. And I'm not even going into even John, where in the beginning was the Word, or in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word. And oh my goodness, I'm seeing all of this is starting to make even more and more sense to me. Some of you are saying I'm getting excited where I'm seeing how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were always in agreement. But that's not anything I'm seeing. I'm looking at the similarity, okay, of prose. I mean, of the word, the written word, and what it says in Matthew, and what is written in Genesis. Look at what it says. Listen. It says right here in Matthew, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, the virgin. But yet, when I read in Genesis, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. Not to be confused with any other woman on this planet, on the earth, the woman. And it's speaking about Jesus in Genesis, the third chapter and the 15th verse. Now you see, way back then, we see the woman. It come all the way up to Matthew, we see the virgin. Not so anybody will be ever confused. We're not talking about any old woman. We're not just talking about any old virgin. We're talking about the virgin. The woman. And it all points right back to Mary. You're saying, oh my goodness, you're trying to tell me this was even made mention. Wait, man had already been made. Been created yet in here way back then. It was even spoken of. Why wouldn't Satan want us to know this? You see, Satan, I'm saying this to y'all, and I told you I'm almost finished. Satan wants people to keep in their mind little baby Jesus. They want to keep you. Keep in mind that we even when you look at the Christmas story, all you're thinking about is this baby. That's all. And you want to get all warm and think and cuddly and all kind of emotions because of this baby. But I want you to understand something. This same baby that was born, if that was a baby, is the same one who would later even say to Mary and Joseph, "Why were y'all looking for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" Satan wants you to think, okay, all right, I don't want you to get confused. Yeah, he had to go about doing what Joseph did. He had to go about carpentry work. No. Jesus is not referring to Joseph. Why would Joseph be found in the temple doing his carpentry work? I'm just giving you practical things to think about. So you don't have to be confused that he was referring to Joseph. Joseph's not his father. Remember, when Jesus was born, him and Mary hadn't, this is all a spiritual thing, him and Mary hadn't even had any relations. Mary had relations with no one. I want you to get this. Okay? I want you to get this. Don't miss it. This is very important. Okay? This is very important. People want to continue to look at Jesus as a baby. They don't want him to grow up. Satan doesn't want you to think that he grew up. They don't want you to understand certain things. That this Jesus that Herod tried to kill, this Jesus, who was conceived in a virgin womb, this Jesus grew up to not only be the savior of the world, he was even Mary's savior. Yes, she was a virgin woman and found favor with God. And many people will call her blessed, but she was not the savior. She too realized that she needed her soul to be saved as well. For all of us need to be saved. All. We all have to be born again. But we were all born through sin. Mary was no exception. So we need to understand that. And I'll finish. So, what we got right here, Satan wants you to keep looking at the womb. I mean, excuse me, at the little manger, at the baby. But don't want you to realize that this baby, who was in the beginning with God the Father, who was in the beginning with the Holy Spirit, came from his place in glory, his place in heaven with his Father, allowed himself to come through a virgin woman, a virgin womb. And y'all say, wait, I can't imagine that. You don't have to imagine it. You have to believe it though. If you cannot believe that this is what God had happen, how can you ever be born again? And Jesus himself, the same Jesus, see that you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into the kingdom of God, unless you be born again. No, Satan doesn't want you to realize this same Jesus, this same baby will grow up to tell you this thing. Letting you realize that we're all not God's children. You have to be born again. You have to come into the family. if you did not have to be born again, if we were all God's children, no, you would have no need to be born again. But we're not. You have to believe that Jesus came here to die for the souls of men, so that he came here so that we could all be saved. That's why he came. Oh, it's a whole lot to this, beloved. It's a whole lot more, okay, to this Christmas story than what's on the surface. Jesus did this. He did this way so that we would understand that when Jesus speaks, when he walked among us and he spoke, he was speaking as one who knew. He knew what it's like to go through temptations, yet he did it without sin. He knew what it's like to feel the things that we feel, the cold, the hot, anger, love. Oh, I didn't say lust, I said love. He knows all of these feelings. Yet, he did not sin as a result of any of them. So that we too will realize that we can go through our lives not as slaves to sin. But that only happens when you become born again. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. He said way back again, and I'm about to tell you, I keep telling you that, but I mean this. When he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, when he's talking to Satan, I'm going to have, how would we say it today? I'm going to have beef between you and the descendants of this woman, your descendants. All of this is going to happen. You read this for yourself in Genesis 3rd chapter. There's always going to be conflict between God's people and Satan's followers, his descendants. There's always going to be a problem here. Yes. But Jesus is going to straighten all of that out in time. And for those of us who have been born again, we don't have a problem like that. All we have to do is follow the word. Trust the word. Lean not to our own understanding. In everything we do, everything we think, everything that we even imagine doing, we have to consider God first. We pray for God to direct us, to lead us, to guide us. This is part of the workings of the Holy Spirit. There is no was, as if Jesus is dead and God, and we talk about Jesus in the past tense. No, Jesus is alive, yet alive, even to this very day, to this very moment. We need to start speaking of Jesus in the past tense. If you're going to do that, then stop singing those songs. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Stop singing it. Because you must not believe it. Stop singing, he walks with me and talks with me and tells me. Stop singing it if you're not going to live it, if you're not going to walk in it. This is what Jesus demands of us and expects of us to believe him. Not just believe in him, believe him. What he said, written in his word and left for us. Believe that he is keeping us. Believe that he's with us. Believe that he's walking with us. Believe his very name says, the Lord God with us. He is Emmanuel. He's with us. Believe it when he says, I'll never leave you. Nor will I forsake you. He was with us from the moment he came among us and walked. And he's still with us. Oh, this is the uncensored Christmas story. I pray that so far what we have said, what we have shared with you, has been fruitful for you. There's so much more, but we can't tell it all. We can't tell it all. But what we can do, what we're willing to do, if you contact us and you want to know more, you need to know more, I will get back to you. You can even join in on some of our Bible studies. We'd be more than glad to go into these subjects even more then. But meanwhile, I want you to know this as I get ready to come to a close. There's a lot more to the Christmas story than little baby Jesus. It's all about Jesus, but I want you to know something. He didn't just stay a baby. And he did more than that. And is still doing more than that. He's still saving souls. Yes, he is. He's still saving souls. The uncensored Christmas story. Hope and pray we have shed some light on the true Christmas story. Because the only place you're going to get it is in the Bible. You're not going to get it on the movie, on the movie screen, on the TV screen. You're going to get it going by what thus says the Word of God. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. The uncensored Christmas story.